My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
And today we're going to take a look at the Sam Keith fill-in issue of The Incredible Hulk, number 368.
Incredible Hulk was one of my favorite books at this time. And this is the first time I had ever seen Sam Keith. And it blew me away, man. I wish he was the regular artist whenever I read this book. I was so on board. We'll point it out as we go through, but he does a bunch of stuff with the Hulk that I had not seen done before. And some of it you can see on the cover, you know, veins in his muscles. That was something I hadn't really seen. Hairy. That was something I hadn't really seen. Even chin stubble is visible there. So it was a really interesting take, you know, like he did some stuff to make the Hulk his own, even though it's just a fill-in issue. He left a mark on this Hulk reader.
I wasn't reading Hulk at the time. I read McFarlane Hulks. This is my copy. Got it off the stand because of the oddness of it. Was this a fill-in between two Del Keones? Because Del Keone is definitely the next issue.
I was trying to figure that out. And in my memory, Del Keone comes on after this, but I'm not sure that's true. He may have done a couple issues before this. I didn't do my research on it, and I should have. Jeff Purvis was the artist whenever I started reading The Hulk, which was around issues 350 or so.
Yeah, he comes on right after McFarlane.
But that's a while before 368, so I can't remember exactly when Del Keone came on, who, again, I love his Hulk, too. He was a really great Hulk artist. He might have done a couple issues and then came on as like the regular after this.
So this cover... it's a train that they're busting out of. And you might not, like... it took me a decade to realize what exactly was happening here. You know? Like, why am I only getting half a Hulk? Did he just, like, smash a dude's head off his body?
It's a strange cover. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't work right. The train is a little bit hard to read. The opening in the side of the train seems way too small for these two monsters to come crashing out of. And then the sky being the same color as the train doesn't help. It's kind of a... some choices there that aren't the best.
And talking about choices that might not be the best, we're going to be in the running for a no prize by the end of this thing, man. If it all shakes out properly and if it was never pointed out before. More thoughts on the cover?
One more note. It says an offbeat Eerie Tale. Eerie, of course, being one of the Warren magazines that sort of was a follower of like the EC comics. I see a lot of that EC style art in Sam Keith's work in this issue. So I think that's probably purely coincidental, but it's a great coincidence because I do think it harkens back to some of his influences, you know, from Frazetta and some different artists of that sort. But just some of the rendering really reminds me of that style.
You know, man, like you say Eerie, and one of the people who did work in those Warren horror books was Bernie Wrightson. And that's what I think of
when
I see even this splash page right here, some of the kind of distorted faces, you know, like Alec Holland had like a Ichabod Crane type head, this kind of lighting.
You're 100% spot on. That's the perfect artist to reference here.
This kind of black drapery, the textures on these Kevlar vests. But the cartoony approach, you know, like there's a lot of line work, a lot of quote unquote detail, but there's a cartooning foundation to this stuff.
And we should say Kelly Jones and Sam Keith on inks this issue, which again, Kelly Jones, another person that would come out of that Bernie Wrightson sort of tradition, you know, especially with line work. That cartoony element, Ed, is the thing that really, I think, made Sam Keith a favorite of mine when I was a kid. Because he goes from this, the next thing I'm aware of is Marvel Comics Presents Wolverine, and it's the same deal with the cartoony stuff. And that cartoony element, I didn't realize I was missing it until I saw it show up, and it just adds this fun, rubbery, fits superheroes really well. And at the time, I didn't know I didn't know a lot of comics. You know, it was still early in my reading days, and so seeing that show up with the super rendering, great combination for me.
There's some good storytelling here, where these army guys, they're showing up because they're looking for Banner, and as the camera pulls back, we see Banner in the shadows. Like how many times was that done in a Hulk comic? You think, man? And then this is kind of like a Wrightson. That's like Wrightson foliage after like Wally Wood, you know?
Even the fence, like the black silhouette fence. Yeah, there's some influences being worn on their sleeves here. And hey, more power to it, man. Because these are influences that weren't widespread at the time, or at least weren't a big part of like the Marvel guys I was following.
If Peter David is like catering to his artists... he does a pretty good job here, like when he kind of susses out Sam Keith's style, because there is cartoony stuff at play here, you know, like just even those guys showing up, holding guns on a little kid, you know, these guys are aggro. They hear a little rustling in the bushes, shoot a little squirrel.
I don't know if you could get away with that now.
No, there. But the approach is like Keystone Cops or something, just bumbling boobs. All right, man. So we got a freight car scenario. Dude in shadows. He's going to be in shadows for quite a while. And Bruce Banner is going to stow away on one of these train cars in a second. Of course, he needs to get out of there.
Yeah, first he confronts this... Well, he gets confronted by a soldier. And there's a moment where, like... At this time, the Hulk is coming out at night only. But this is during the day when he gets into it with the soldier. And there's a moment where he sort of channels the Hulk. Because Banner, you know, puny weakling. He was not going to best a soldier. But if he can pull a little Hulk out, he can. And so this is a run where Peter David is... He continues to do the characterization stuff with the Hulk, despite this being a fill-in issue, because he's moving towards this idea of the Hulk, different Hulks existing in Banner's psyche, and Banner maybe losing some control or gaining some control of those different Hulk personalities. And so, you know, this is just keeping that up. So a little bit of a subplot of the bigger what's going on with the Hulk. And Peter David having been writing the Hulk at this point for several years and would continue writing the Hulk for several years after this.
One of the hallmarks of Sam Keith art to me is his treatment of, like, tendons and stuff, especially, you know, in the hands. Mm-hmm. We could always see it real clear. He has, like, the skull and crossbone kind of finger bones, and we get a very early kind of interpretation of that right there.
Great hand, yeah. One thing that's not very good, watch the gun. Is this? We're going to see the gun for a few pages. It's a bad gun, man. It kind of looks like a Daisy, you know,
the Red Ryder BB gun. Yes. Gun or something. Yeah, this one's a pool cue.
Yeah, that's he traded his gun for a bow staff there. Great face.
Absolutely.
To me, that one speaks to the Sam Keith style of, you know, almost like a character actor, like really chewing up the scenery. He gets to draw this crazy conductor guy. Pretty cool, though, and still in line with that Bernie Wrightson tradition.
Yeah, so we get Bruce Banner onto the freight car. And lo and behold, there's another fella in there, man, in the shadows.
And that guy is a talker.
Yeah.
He's laying it on thick.
Yeah, going into the history of the Jekyll and Hyde novella.
And almost instantly recognized as Bruce Banner in this dark, shadowy car as soon as he climbs on board.
Mr.
That
Hyde
should be enough to jump out if you're Bruce Banner.
For sure.
Get another car, man.
So we're going page after page about you know, the dual personality, the Jekyll and Hyde stuff. And it reminded me, like somebody told me they were on a trip across the pond with Peter David. He was researching a story, and I think they would have been going to Scotland. And every 2 seconds, Peter David was giving them factoids about Scotland. And that's what it made me think about, like, reading all this, because there's all this, like, little minutia about that single story. And equating Jekyll and Hyde with Darwin's theory on evolution and all sorts of crap.
Yeah, it's purple prose, as they say. So Banner decides he has had enough and maybe he's going to get out of there. And one of the things that the Jekyll character or Hyde character had done was when he broke the gun, he said, I'm keeping the bayonet. And so this is the bayonet, very small, and he throws it and sticks him in his leg. I thought this was bad storytelling because the whole time Banner's been on the right. But whenever you see Hyde pull back, it's like he's aiming to his right. You know, it's kind of the wrong direction. But I guess it makes sense for this panel. It just all sort of switches that 180-degree rule.
And look at those. I think those are supposed to be eyes, man, and they're real far apart.
They are real far apart. I did not pick up on those being eyes, and I think you're right.
And these textures right here, man, that's like the Bernie Wrightson Frankenstein wood grain.
And the Kelly Jones Batman cape from a couple years later.
Yeah, for sure. And look, man, just this ominous like hand coming from the shadows. We barely ever see him, like... That's very metal. That silhouette right there, man.
Great face. A little bit of Tottlebin in that face.
You really get the sense that Sam Keith will not be taping down his drawing boards in order to roll out perspectives and all of that kind of thing.
I also don't know if he has any trains in his morgue file.
Yes, yes. And therein will lie our no prize. Eventually, because, and it's, I'm going to put the onus on both artist and writer when we get there, man. But obviously, we have the fight between Mr. Hyde, Bruce Banner, who still is not Hulk yet.
Yeah, this is a good one. He stomps on his hand holding the pistol. And I remember like reading this and being like, oh man, that would just crush your hand. And sure enough, they do acknowledge it in the next panel. Rereading this, I was surprised by how much of a buildup there is and how much the Hulk isn't in this. And yeah. It's classic horror movie tropes, you know, of like, don't show the monster, you know, build the monster up. Kind of funny how like these old comics, when I revisit them, they're different in my memory than they are on the page.
Still with the eyes, man. Kind of hard to see on this old crappy newsprint. And it looks like my copy is one of the last. They needed to refill the black yeah. ink by the time they got to my copy. But boom, you feel that. One of the things I was thinking was, I wonder if this lettering was down there and then they added
detail
to it. But look at those Mr. Hyde teeth, boy. That's an ominous figure right there.
Yeah, he does the monster thing with both Hyde and the Hulk. You know, we don't see either of those characters until this point.
Yeah, and that's the story. It's like there are two Jekyll and Hydes on the same train car. You know, that's the conceit. You could imagine that's what Peter David said to the editor. Like, I'm going to do two Jekyll and Hydes on the same train car.
Yeah, I wonder. I bet this is a story concept Peter David carried around a long time. This is that Hulk that doesn't look like the Hulk. You know, this is the veins, the hairiness, the chin stubble.
Yeah,
it left a mark on me.
Doesn't have quite the Cro-Magnon brow. You know, that's closer to Hulk than what we got here. But man, I love that Mr. Hyde.
He's a fun design. Those teeth are a good choice by Sam Keith.
Wow. Wow.
I think this is what the bottom of a train looks like.
Or a skateboard. That's a good approach right there, man, with that light coming in on Hulk. Good lighting there. The train car, look, it's like Citizen Kane, you know, like remove the ceiling to get the camera in there. We're getting closer to our no prize, man, because we can agree that these are freight cars, right?
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
Okay. Look at that, man. That's total Sam Keith proportions. It's almost an is. You just gotta like...
It is. Yeah.
You just gotta make that a circle. And here's our cover image. Right here, man. Busting through the train. Once again, man, talk about morgue files. You know, it's like some kind of Hoover Dam or something that they're going over top of.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of backgrounds, and it is a fill-in issue, so there may not have been a lot of time either.
That's true. Would you look through these ads when you're a little, and just like equate like how much newspaper money like
you would spend on certain things? I occasionally would order stuff because I didn't have a comic shop, you know. So like some of this stuff, like you get into some of the indie stuff. If I had to have it, man, you know, this was one of the ways that I would get comics.
Yeah, good for you, man. I was always like, what, one comic in the hand is worth two in the mail type shit, man. I would just go to the newsstand because I couldn't stand to not have something immediately. Instant gratification was my thing. Boom, some more of that Sam Keith dynamic, and look at that dude.
Yeah.
Trained on run him over.
Right over his neck.
But it doesn't stop our guy, man. And this is the no prize page right here, because we agreed that was like a freight car, right? And the back of the train got derailed because it ran over Hulk's head, I guess.
Right.
I guess. We don't really... Yeah, I guess there's the... train derailing. So now we have to come up with some reason for Hulk to sort of save Hyde, not let him die, but the people would die too. Now, is this Hulk just a dummy?
No, Gray Hulk's smart.
Okay, well, he should be smart enough to know, man, that this ain't Amtrak, and there's probably just cargo in these things, right? There's no people.
I agree with you, yeah. This does not look like a passenger train to me. Although there are windows on that last... There's one passenger car in the whole train.
And that's another piece. Like, we would be denied our no prize if the caboose of freight cars have engineers and stuff.
I'll tell you this, too. The people that are in this cart are hurt real bad.
Yeah, for sure.
They get thrown around in ways that they're not coming out of there probably alive.
No seatbelts.
This is classic Sam Keith. All the tropes are there. The big feet, the tattered clothing,
the off-panel busting and cracking of the paper. And look at this, man. It's early enough where we don't get full bleed.
Yeah.
But we get full bleed there. Very interesting, man. No top and bottom margins, but you get full bleed on the sides. And yeah, that's max proportions so well. There's the eye.
Yeah, that's a great panel. This is one that I would copy as a kid.
Yeah, and in our, I believe, Wizard number 6 interview with Sam Keith, he describes that as like one of his favorite panels that he's drawn up to this time, man. And I guess Marvel Comics Presents comes after this.
It must, yeah. And that's a Peter David story, too. So, like, they both must have been, or at least Peter David must have been happy with this and been like, yeah, I'll work with this guy some more.
Yeah.
And no wonder, you know, like, nobody else drew this way. And I think that good writers must have recognized when someone would show up and you'd be like, this guy has something. Let's see what I can get out of this.
Yeah, for sure. Great, great perspective here with Hyde falling off the trestle. Some nice Kelly Jones kind of dry brush speed line stuff.
Yeah, and inside of there, if you had the cross section, the Citizen Kane cross section of that caboose, right now everybody's turning into SpaghettiOs. And the bridge collapses.
Richard Corbin kind of.
Yeah, totally.
Texture right there.
Richard Corbin texture up here, and then, like, end of the deadline texture down here.
Yeah.
These bricks.
Yeah, for sure, man. See, I was going to be generous and say Toth. But
Toth is rolling over in his grave right now.
And then, you know, an homage to Concrete, because Hulk has to swim to shore.
I'm sure that's what they were thinking.
His 3,000-pound carcass has to swim onto shore. Now look at those proportions. That's Hulk proportions, right? He figured it out on the last page, man.
Pretty good there.
Yeah.
This page reminds me, color palette's very distinct in this issue too. If you were to look at the Hulk issue before and after this, I mean, you can even see it in the preview of next month's Hulk cover. It's a totally different color palette, much more of the cartoony, you know, what you expect out of a superhero comic book. This, on the other hand, the secondary colors, the muted colors, they're totally going for a different story style altogether. And it worked. I remember this issue so distinctly. Instantly, it felt different than all the other comics I was picking up that week or that month or, you know, anything around it. It was like, this was something different.
This is an issue of comics that really put Sam Keith on the map to us, man. Maybe I think Sandman came earlier, just months before, like 1989. Direct market book. I didn't know comic shops, and I don't know that I would have been sold a Sandman comic.
I don't think the Sandman stuff doesn't play to Sam Keith's strengths and what he would go on to do. You know, if you think from here he goes to Wolverine, and is the Max right after that? I'm trying to think of what all he does there, but you know, it's a very different look. All of what I think of Sam Keith, very different than that early Sandman stuff. Even if I had picked that up, which I didn't, this was still would have been the big intro of like, oh, look what he can do.
Yeah, for sure, man. And next issue, at the very least, that's a Del Keown cover.
Yeah, man. You draw your cross section and it's the Hulk's crotch right in the middle of it. That's the power pose in the blob. That was Freedom Force that he's fighting next issue. There's your Del Keown Hulk too. So he probably did do a few issues before this.
Dude, this is the shit where I was always perplexed because some of these comics I never heard of because they were direct market books. And then I'm like, well, why is this stuff $10.45 and why is this stuff, you know, $12? Like, I don't get it. Or look at that, man, $22.50. Very steep.
Oh, yeah. Those are the magazines. That's a bigger page count, too, though. So you're probably getting your money's worth if you sign up for one of those.
For sure. Oh, dude. And Bayou Billy, man. That's like one of the only games that used the D-pad and the light gun. But the game sucked. Good commercial, though. Boom. This is the era, man. This is the era that turned a generation of knuckleheads into future cartoonists.
This was the right era for these cartoonists, too, because this is the earliest days of the Speculator. You know, this is the beginning of that ramp up and where these stylized artists were really starting to come into their own and gain those followings. interesting time as a reader.
There's a, like, with hindsight being 2020, it's like Image Comics had to happen. Like, it made sense for all these guys to be under the same banner, because you would mention, like, a Sam Keith in the same breath as a Jim Lee. Like, everybody who went over there, they all made sense, you know? There might have been even a couple others that just didn't have the nuts to try something like that. Like even the Kubert brothers, like, you could imagine, like, jumping into that space as well, man. But, like, all those names,
they got almost everybody. Romita Jr. is another one who, you know, it took a long time before he did an Image book. But otherwise, they got almost everybody. Everybody that had a real style of their own, or had a real success selling books,
yeah,
it seemed like they got hold of. You'll hear people talk about, like, WWE having, you know, like, 1998, you know, this is their roster, and it's just like A-lister after A-lister. Marvel had that at this time. You know, like, their top 10 artists were, I don't know if they've ever had a match for that, especially in terms of, like, unique styles paired on a book that was selling astronomical numbers. It was just, everything was clicking.
Revisiting this old stuff from our formative days, man, it juices me up to get back to drawing comics, man.
I you know, when we say that this was like a bunch of A-listers, I feel like they feed off each other too. You know, when Sam Keith shows up, it's like, hey, man, I gotta bring it. You know, Jim Lee's over here doing his thing and McFarlane's doing his book. You know, you sort of had to have that distinct style and flavor, something that made you you and that you could do well and put it on a lot of these characters.
Let's get out of here.
Yep.
All right, K-Fabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit that bell so that we can notify you when new videos are available.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist K-Fabe newsletter at the link below this video. You can find Cartoonist K-Fabe merchandise and t-shirts at the links below this video.
Let's get out of here, man. Let's go look at those that Marvel Comics covers artist edition so that we can take a closer look at some of the tools that might have been used to get these kind of ink lines, man. Give these dudes your margin orders.
Read more comics.